At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" In the name of Jesus, amen. Boy, when it's cold, brr, it's nice to take refuge by a fire that's brightly burning. Amen. Or a space heater, for that matter, right? When you need refuge, right? You need refuge. And when it's really, really hot, there's nothing like some AC in the car, right? I mean, your car's like 5,000 degrees when you get in it in the summer, right? And boy, you want that baby to cool down as fast as you can because you need that refuge. And when it's raining, isn't it crazy how an umbrella becomes such a refuge? Unless it's blowing rain, then it's like my head is dry, but the rest of me needs a change. Refuge. How many different ways do we seek refuge? How many different ways do we want to maintain our comfort zone in various sundry ways? And, you know, we have the skills, the knowledge, and the abilities. We have the mind, the muscle, and the money to do it in a lot of ways. And that's okay. That's okay. But today, Jesus is really, really sad because he wants to be for Jerusalem their refuge. What's going on there? Our meditation this morning is titled Going with Jesus. So how does that go with refuge and a space heater and the AC? Well, think about it this way. You and I are living in a battle. And gosh, you think about a battle. I don't know how far away Ukraine is from me ever. It just seems to be there all the time in one way or another. But our hearts go out to all these people that have to seek literally refuge from where they live. Their home, the place where they work or live or go to school. They have to flee the nation that's being assaulted by the Russian army, and they're seeking refuge. And yet, with all due respect to that, there is a far greater crisis that's going on in this world, and it's about sin, death, and the power of the devil. And what's sad for Jesus in his day is how little people understood that in the church. And it harkens all the way back to Jeremiah's day when the church was focusing in on all the wrong things. In fact, God starts Jeremiah's ministry by saying this, "I have two complaints against my family." You know, this is God speaking to Jeremiah. Only two complaints. Well, that's not too bad. The Ten Commandments, right? Except for here's how it goes. You know, God says, they have forsaken the fountain of living water, so that's the first commandment, and they've hewn for themselves cisterns that hold no water, so they've made all kinds of things that they fear, love, and trust in more than in God, and that's the first commandment too, and boy, you fail the first commandment, all the other ones go with it. And so they weren't taking refuge in God. They weren't seeing God as their refuge. And there's nothing wrong with your skills, your knowledge, and abilities. There's nothing wrong with your mind and your muscle and your money unless you turn those things into your God. How many different kind of idols can you and I have in our life? Man, the answer is many. But God would have us take refuge in him. And certainly we can use all those things, but we use those things taking refuge in him. Because that's what it's all about. And that's what's going on in our gospel reading. The people just want their religion the way they want it. They like all their skills, knowledge, and abilities, their mind, muscle, and money. And Jesus sees it. He's the one who sees it. And so he laments over Jerusalem. And yet still, what does he do? He comes for the rescue. I mean, it's a wonderful passage. Let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus, the quintessential, the ultimate rescue worker, first responder, God sent to the world that didn't have any, didn't see any, didn't want any, had no desire for rescue. And still he came so that we would not perish, so that I would not perish, we would not perish. It's nice to know that even if we're not always very aware of what's going on in the crisis with sin, death, and the power of the devil, he is. He doesn't want us to perish. That's the good news. He says it a different way in Luke 19. Let's read that together. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's you, that's me. And, you know, it's not like we haven't known about what it means to be forgiven and loved, and many of us have been converted for a long, long time. But there are still those occasions in your life and my life where we get lost, amen? Where we don't know what to do. We hardly know what to think. And we just are. And what's nice is that Jesus knows where we are. He comes to our rescue. He comes with his love. He comes to fill us with his grace so that we can live. Using our skills, knowledge, and abilities, our mind, muscle, and money in ways that serve his purposes for us. And we do it so thankful for what he has done in us and what he plans on doing through us. So what does it mean to take refuge? When you realize, Houston, there's a problem, when you find yourself afraid or worried, or you find yourself at the end of your rope, I mean, that's where God lives. And how do we take refuge then in him? What are we to do? By just simply saying, hide me in your holy wounds, cover me with your blood, or hold me, Jesus, or guide me, Lord. There have been people that have shared with me when they've gone through various crises, things like, the only thing that helps me, Pastor, is saying the Lord's Prayer. I had one lady who said, singing Jesus Loves Me. And you know, when you need to take refuge, right? I mean, do we really need to be told to take refuge when we need to take refuge? The challenge is that there are those false refuges. The mind, the muscle, the money, the skills, knowledge, and abilities that we take refuge in instead of the Lord, right? And that's when we need to stop and be still and know that God is God. You know, sometimes your skills and my skills will just get us into trouble. Amen? You know, you say, well, I can take care of this, so you roll up your sleeves. And you realize it didn't work so well. Yeah, you know, taking refuge. When I think about this concept of taking refuge, there's something that firefighters found in Yellowstone National Park when they were fighting the fire in 88. And they found a bird that had a bunch of chicks underneath her wings at the base of a tree, but, you know, they were all dead, but she tried to protect. You know, that natural instinct. And we have that natural instinct as well to protect. But how many ways do we seek refuge in things that end up not helping us? And the good news is that Jesus wants to help us. He wants to hide us underneath his arms. We can take refuge in him when we're saying nothing is making sense these days. And if you're like I am, reading and looking at the news and seeing what's going on and in our own culture that's changing in so many ways, how can we, in hope and peace and joy and love, navigate that culture? By taking refuge in Jesus as often as we need to. It's interesting. And you know, how many people, when they heard Jesus lamenting, decided to change their ways, you know? How many people hearing Jeremiah back in his day found themselves just saying, you know, I think he's right. I need to humble myself and believe that God will take care of me. I mean, God only knows. But it's God's work to give us refuge. There's an interesting example in Isaiah's day, in chapter 40 of his book, we hear these words. It's chapter 40 at the end. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. So God, through Isaiah, is telling the church, I've been hearing what you're talking about. And they have a congregational concern. You know, that's why God says, why are you saying, O Jacob? Why are you saying, O Israel? You know, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. In other words, where's God? I mean, haven't you, in the quietness of your own mind as you think about what's happening to Ukraine, thinking, God, where are you in all of this? Right? Or even closer to home, when you're going through some of the things you've gone through, have you found yourself saying, God, where are you in all of this? Well, if you feel that way, just tell him, because he already knows, right? He knows. But what's interesting is this is how God responds to that. And I know it's a little biting law at the beginning. It's rhetoric that doesn't sound very caring, but here's how God responds to their complaint about him. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding, no one can fathom. And of course, the honest answer is, yeah, I forgot again, God. I forgot who you were, who you are, but thanks for the reminder. And then God goes on. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, taking refuge in God means we'll have to wait for certain things, but we can wait in hope, knowing that he can renew and that he can bless and he can open doors and make a way that no one else knows about, because God is God and we aren't. And he is our refuge. And he is the one who has gathered us, going the way of the cross, underneath his wings. And if he was willing to do that, won't he also see to all of our other needs, whatever they may be, however challenging they may look? They are no match for our Lord. The challenge is we need to take refuge in that good news when we're starting to lose our confidence and become afraid or angry or just at the end of our rope and giving in and just going along with fear or despair or, you know, what's the use? That's the way the cookie crumbles. God doesn't want us to go along life that way. He wants us to go with him. Like the Apostle Paul was talking about in our epistle reading, he wants us to take refuge in him. And so, you know, today is a gift. We'll never see this day again. Every day is a gift. And it certainly is a gift, going with Jesus, taking refuge in him, whenever and wherever and for whatever reason we need to, taking refuge, trusting in, going with him by faith. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.